Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
What can I do for you, Rod? You just tell me, what can I do for you?
It's a very personal, very important thing.
Are you ready, Jerry?
I'm ready.
I just want to make sure you're ready, brother.
Here it is. Show me the money.
Show you the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it with you with meaning, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
Not show you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah. Louder.
Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to yell.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
Wondering what that was. That was Donald Fehr and Gary Bettman's last conversation. Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I had no idea where you were going with this. I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm thinking to myself, what is he thinking today? Because your little hamster wheel goes at a different speed than everyone else.
That starts at 3 a.m.
Oh, man, I love it.
Anyway, so if you haven't seen or heard, we're going to get into a bit of a money battle here, I think, between the players and the league, and I think it's what it's going to come down to, dollars and cents, and I think it's risky. Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550. It's Wednesday. Rob Ray joins us for the whole 2 hours. I lied to everybody yesterday, but that's not new. I apologize. But next Wednesday, it was supposed to be today, but we could only get 30 minutes out of him. So we're going to take the whole second hour next Wednesday with Thomas Vanek. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We're hoping to get a retirement announcement out of him. Talk about that Datsuk Halloween costume that we've talked about many times on this show.
If he still has the red equipment.
Well, he did end up playing in Detroit.
Oh, yes.
Which I thought was absolutely incredible. You know, when he played in Detroit, that's all I could think about. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well.
Rob, question.
Yeah.
Why do you look so tight and neat right now? Your beard is immaculate. The boys in the room there that run all the boards and stuff.
The control room.
That's what it is. They're all commenting on your beard.
Well, it just takes a little time, guys. You play with it enough, you keep stroking it, you know, it's amazing what it'll do.
I remember the first time I saw you with a beard, Rob. You used to always grow the beard because you would go hunting in Alaska.
Yeah. But you know what? I couldn't grow a beard till I was 40. It wouldn't come in. It was brutal.
So what happened in 99 in the playoffs?
Yeah, but that was,
did you have one then?
No, not really. No,
you didn't.
Were you a big beard? Were you a big beard grower in the playoffs?
No.
Because while I was playing,
I could not grow a beard.
And goatee, like, I think.
In your 40s, it started, you know, coming. I don't know. I could grow the beard then. Before it would be, you know, all over the place. And then all of a sudden, it just hit a point where it started coming in.
Did you have the goatee going in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so.
Who had the best playoff beard? Do you remember? I know Pekka had a good one. He's a hairy man.
Pekka used to have a real good one. It comes in.
He can honestly grow a beard in 5 hours.
Yeah, he does. Like, he shaves twice a day.
He has the beard that he shaves in the morning, and it's still, like, even after he shaves, his face is still dark.
It's growing. It's already growing.
By the end of the day, he's got a true definition
of a 5 o'clock shadow. I mean, it takes me 2 days to get a 5 o'clock
shadow.
He's got
nice hair too, you know? He's got great hair.
He's a handsome man.
If there was one thing at my age now, I'm 52. If I had more, my forehead, I always had a big head, okay? Nothing I can do. It's a hereditary problem.
Oh, I thought
it looks like it's getting bigger because the hairline's going farther back. And that's the only thing. So I think by doing that, your head start looking even bigger. Find a little better hairline.
You used to have the old mullet going, didn't you? The mullet.
Yeah, mullet. I love the mullet. The longer it got, the curlier it got. It was sick. Sick.
Was
jersey off out there, mullet hanging down.
How much of it was image, Razor? How much of it was?
I don't think it was. It was what everybody did. Like, I even got my kids on our hockey team. There's a couple of them that it's mullet. It's hockey. The mullet is connected to hockey. And they're so into the hockey that they want to have the mullet, too, because that's what, you know, is the connecting force to it.
Looking ridiculous is cool.
Yeah.
That's what the mullet is all about.
Like, nothing. How stupid did Jagr and those guys look with the long hair? Like, that was dumb.
Nobody looked worse than Darren.
In Poopa. Hockey, it looks
nobody
strong.
Looked worse than Darren Poopa. No
hey,
offense.
Rob Brown, you remember Rob Brown? Rob Brown used to have long hair in the back, and he was bald on top. And I think he got one of those plug jobs done up there, so it looked like you could see the where they planted each little hair up there.
Yeah,
and then he'd take his helmet off, and it was like he was still bald on top, but he had the long hair.
Well, he had the Ernie McCracken going from Kingpin,
brutal.
Where it was really long on the one side, and he would brush it all the way over. Yeah. I think they used to call him Bacon Strips Brown.
Yeah, no, it was
Razor.
He was awful.
You remember Mario Roberge?
Yep.
Did you ever fight Mario Roberge?
Serge and Mario Roberge.
Okay, so I played with both those guys in the minors. They were both on the same team. We had Mario Roberge, Serge Roberge, Jerry Fleming, Chris Murray. Did you ever fight? Chris? Okay.
All
so anyway,
those guys.
I remember from the minors, Mario Roberge starting fighting, and all of a sudden they were going toe to toe, and his toupee flipped up, so it was standing straight up. He was bald on the top. His toupee flipped up. And I mean, I felt so embarrassed, you know, as he was fighting because his toupee is flapping at the back of his head.
Yeah.
And
you were embarrassed. Why? He should have been embarrassed.
I was embarrassed for him. Like, I just wanted his hair to go down on his head, but it didn't. It stayed straight up as he was fighting, going toe to toe. And I'm like, oh my, you didn't even know they were punching each other in the face. All you could look at was the hair flapping up.
Didn't that happen to Brian Bowles one time too?
That's a great line.
Didn't it happen to Brian Bowles one time? Got his helmet knocked off or something, and the hair went with it.
I played with BB Bellows in Montreal, and I don't think he had his toupee at the time because he was pretty thin. I think he got a little bit later.
That would be an unbelievable line to say to somebody. I'm going to punch you so hard, I'm going to knock your toupee off.
I've got a story about somebody I'm not going to say because he would still kill me. He was always so sensitive about it. And we're in practice one day in Philadelphia, and Grant Ledger fired one off the glass, and it hit this, I'm not going to say if it was a player or a coach, knocked his hat off and the toupee and everything, and he dove to the ice, grabbed the hat, pulled it back on, and bolted right off the ice and was gone, left the rink. And I don't have the heart to say who it is, but it was one of the funniest things I ever seen.
It's like that scene from Slapshot when it's like that scene from Slapshot when the Oregon guy, the announcer, I can't remember his name. Shame on me. George Babcock were here, he'd know it.
Got it knocked off, yeah.
He got it knocked off in the up in the press room.
Hey, you know what? If it's gonna go, let it go.
I'm with you. Messier never had one. Messier got cooler as he lost his hair. I saw
it. Yeah, but some guys have a head that you can shave. And then there's some of us, if you shaved your head, it's worse.
Yeah, that's me. Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550. Rob Ray joins us. Why did I open with Jerry Maguire and make the joke about Don Fear and Gary Bettman talking about show me the money? And that's because apparently that's what I think hockey's legs stand on here is another CBA negotiation. And we'll talk about that. But one thing we talked about yesterday, Razor, that you played so long in this league and saw so many different antics and played for so many different coaches, as did Craig, but we've already exhausted his experiences yesterday with it. But Dylan Cousins last week, yep. and I don't want to, I'm not trying to center out Dylan Cousins. I'm more actually putting the coach on a pedestal here. And in fact, I said yesterday, I believe the coach at the World Juniors, and forgive me, I know his name, but I can't remember his name right now. Riv, that's the call on you right there. What's the coach's name? That's where I'm at with it too, but he's a hell of a coach.
French Canadian.
Yeah, well, he coaches in Ottawa, I think, right? Yeah. And
still a good chance.
Yeah. And so basically sent Dylan Cousins and Kirby Dack off, not off the ice, but just didn't let them on the ice when practice started. And then they were early on for the next session. And Dylan Cousins has obviously never looked back since. And I guess without getting too long-winded on my end, what did you think of all that when you saw that? And do you have any experiences from back in the day, and I'm sorry for wording it that way, but it's true, back in the day, of star players that a coach used as an example?
Yeah, I can remember one day in Florida that Dom Hasek was used as an example because it was one of the first times we started going to Florida, and he, Dom was Dom. And when you got away like that, you never knew what you're going to get out of Dom. And he was late. He was late for practice. And Teddy was over the top upset. And we were supposed to have just a short practice and have the day off. And he came out, and right in front of everybody, we stood there. And then finally Dom came out on the ice. And he's like, well, because Dom was late and he's no different than anybody else, get a puck and just start skating around the rink. And we skated in circles, just around and around and around with a puck for 20 minutes one way. He blew the whistle, and he says, okay, go the other way. We went 20 minutes that way, blew the whistle, went 20 minutes. And you're thinking, you're not moving fast, but try skating around the rink with the puck for 20 minutes one way and 60 minutes total. And at the end, he says, you guys can thank Dom for that. And he says, and I ruined your day off, so have a good day. And that was pretty much it. But it was one of the worst practices I had.
So
when you think about it, how hard is that, just skating around one direction for 20 minutes and then going the other way? Put a puck in your stick and actually do it and see how bad it is.
Yeah.
So how did the players react?
They were, everybody was kind of not upset about it. They were more upset they lost a good portion of their day off in Florida. It was more than, upset at Dom, because it all works out in the wash. Happens to everybody along the line.
I feel like Dom would be a bad example.
And then
for
I had a coach like John Muckler. John Muckler, when he came over and he came into the room the first night, and he addressed us all, and he goes, look, you guys, I treat superstars like superstars, and the rest of you just be happier here. And the rest of us are like looking at each other going, I better just shut my mouth. But he let you know exactly where you stood right there the first day. superstars are like superstars, and the rest of you, just be glad you're here. It's like, uh-oh.
That's interesting, but did that come from Edmonton?
Was probably.
He was in Edmonton before he came here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So who else? And I guess I asked that question about Dom, and I said, is he the wrong example? Because let's be honest. I mean, you guys had a good team, but you weren't the team you were without him. And
but you know what, Petey? When everybody says that, you go back to the '99. Okay, was Dom good? Yes, but you know what? You know how well that team played defensively in front of him. There was. You look in the playoffs, he got, I don't know, how many, 2-3 shutouts or whatever it might have been in that playoff run. And we were giving up like 20 shots a night. If you're giving the best goalie in the world at the time 20 shots to stop, that's a cakewalk for him. So there was those guys on that team learned how to play defense in front of him. And it helped him out a ton as well. It got to a point sometimes where Dom would get so bored back there because he wasn't getting the shots that he'd be skating all over the zone trying to play pucks and get involved in the game that way.
So do players from 99 get offended? Do players from that 99 team get offended?
When ask Michael Pekka what he thinks about that.
I certainly didn't say you guys weren't talented. That's not what I hear. We
didn't have a superstar in our team. Michael Pekka was their probably biggest name on the team, and Merrill Chatan probably best player offensively on our team. But who else? You played as a team. So to say, you know, get offended, well, I think that team made such a commitment to playing team defense and, you know, Lindy and those guys having such a great game plan every night that it made a huge difference. But it also made a big difference with Dom, how good, you know, and there would be the odd night you'd give up, get shell shocked, but, you know, there would be a lot of nights when you weren't giving up very many shots at all.
I'm not, trust me when I say I'm not trying to discredit Lindy here, but was the culture not already set when Lindy came in? I mean, I feel like Ted Nolan, unless I'm confused or mistaken.
Yeah.
But
did you know, Nolan... the year before he came in, I think we went to the conference final and we lost to Washington. And then Teddy was done, and Lindy came in, and I met with Lindy. I was in Whitefish, Montana, with Ken Sutton and those guys, and Lindy has a place out there, so we met for coffee, and he goes, "Look, this is a good team," and he goes, "I'm just going to come in and pick up where he left off. I'm not going to change." So the first year, you kind of did that, and then the second year is when he started, you know, tinkering and putting more of his fingerprint on that team. But yeah, it was like with Teddy, you weren't going to learn any super elaborate schemes and all. It was pretty basic hockey, and I think Lindy realized that the more basic that team played, the better off it would be, and it worked. But you know, you had to adjust as you moved on too, and then he picked the time when you needed to start adjusting, and that's what he did.
Old man,
how many of those players were liabilities defensively?
None.
That's why you won.
Rivers, I don't think even our like fourth line guys that they were all very, very sound defensively.
Yeah. And listen, you probably didn't win a lot of games, you know, 6-4 and 6-3.
Nope.
But I'm sure you won a lot of games, you know, 3-1, 2-1, 1-0, because all you guys played the exact same style. You may not have had the elite offensive skills, but you guys played as a team. Yep. And you had a great goaltender.
You had a goalie. When you made a mistake, you had the goalie.
Exactly. Yeah. But in front of that goaltender, you guys played, every single guy played a lockdown defensive style.
Yep.
And you did it to your best of your abilities. And that's an extremely, extremely difficult team to play against.
Yeah, you know what? Curtis Brown and Michael Peck and Dixon Ward, and they were sick on like our penalty kill probably scored more goals than our fourth line did total during the season.
You know who I fell in love with? I think a lot of people did in that playoff run. I think it was both playoff years, Razor. You'd be able to tell me, but was Groshek. He was absolutely incredible. And you know who else I thought was, and I know Jay Harris back there is going to love this because this was his favorite player, but Vaclav Virata.
Yep.
Those two guys were unbelievable on that team. And those, you know, you talked about definitions of unsung.
I hated them both.
I bet you would.
I hated them both.
You know what, though?
You ever cross-checked either one of them in the face, though, Riv? Did you hate them that much?
I played with V in Ottawa when I went there, Virata. And him and I sat one day and talked about, you know, the whole coming up through. And he literally almost in tears when he was sitting there talking about it, how bad he was treated and the things that were said and done to him, you know, when he was here. So he was a guy that by a lot of people, and he just felt so unappreciated and just never felt like he was a part of anything. And that was a guy that I think if you ever could have installed some confidence and made him feel like he was, hey, you're a huge part of this team, then I think he could have been sick because he played like a bull.
Yeah.
And Grossi was just
like
a guy
that, train.
Yeah. Grossi was just dumb as a rock. And he was just like, Grossi, go do this. Okay. But he was skilled. Grossi had skill for a big man,
yeah,
but he played a hard game too.
He was kind of like JP Dumont. I compare JP and Mike Groshek as very comparable type hockey players. JP maybe with a little better touch.
Can I just add one thing to the Groshek? You know, Vasquez Virata was a guy that would be like a, you know, your typical third line left winger that was extremely physical, hit like a freight train. You know, drove the net, nothing real to played a very simple game. Michael Groshek, I believe, grossly underachieved in the National Hockey League. We're talking about a guy 6'2", 215, 220 pounds. He could skate like the wind. He could shoot. He was a power forward. He could hit. He could score. I believe he should have been a 50-point player in the league for 10 years. He had 1 year that he scored 20 goals and had 50 points.
Yeah. But in that case, too, it's getting the opportunity to do it. And on the other hand, like I just said, too, is being smart enough to understand what the role is. Like, he was the guy that always thought he was better than – and he should be playing more and playing with different – I'll tell you a story. His wife one day sends him to the rink – with these papers. We're like, Groshi, what are the papers? He goes, well, Bridget wrote down some power plays and showing where I should be on the power play and all this kind of thing. And he goes, I'm going to give them to the coach. And I'm like, you're what? He's like, yeah, Bridget told me to bring it in to give to the coach. And I'm like, you can't do that. You can't, Groshi. Do yourself a favor and don't do it. He never ended up doing it, but she had broke down, and this was kind of what he was under at home. And he was bringing in power plays with him on it to give to Lindy to show where he should be playing on the power play.
No way.
Yeah. So what guy would take that? I'm not saying from his wife, but I'm saying from his wife that didn't play or doesn't play to go in to give to a National Hockey League coach to say, hey, this is where I should be playing. Or would he go in and say, this is where my wife says I should be playing?
I'd probably lead with my wife. That way it doesn't fall on me.
Okay, but yeah. Wouldn't you just say, okay, thanks, honey, and throw him in the garbage when you walk out of the house?
I don't know. Maybe she might have had some good points. I mean, yeah. Coach should be open-minded and listen to any kind of philosophy. Door's always open, I thought, Razor. Yeah. Hey, what happened to the old,
I tried to go through
my
that door
is always open to you?
What if you're married?
Through that door with coaches, and it's not as open as what you think sometimes, or as they say.
Yeah, it's never, the door is never open. I mean, it's unlocked,
it may
but
be
it's
open,
closed.
But
you know what I mean?
Force field there that just sucks the life out of you as soon as you walk through it.
Yeah, it is. You know why? Because if the door's open, when you walk through it, it's not right now. Now's not a good time.
Seriously, this is what you want me to consider right now. This is what you want.
I got other things going on here. We've lost three straight here. You think I'm worried about – what do you got, Riv? You said you look like you wanted to say something.
No,
you're past that. All right, we're going to go to break. At 11:30, though, we had a fun segment yesterday with Marty at 11:30. We did name your teammate, hijacked it completely from One Bills Live. But, you know, we're going to use it. And we're going to do it with Rob today. And I'll find teammate. One for Rip. Pardon?
Teammate.
Past teammate. Former teammate.
Guess what do you that do with him? Teammate. Hang out with him? You have to guess it.
Guess your teammate that we're going to give you.
It was good. I like this segment.
We're going to have, and you don't say that very often. I mean, yeah,
I don't. You know what? Brownie and Tasker right now. Well done, boys. We're stealing your segment here.
Hey, for everyone listening, anytime we have a segment idea, Riv has to go. Okay. But then all of a sudden we throw one out there yesterday and it stuck with him. And now he wants to do it. So, you know, it's good because Riv is all about, if you notice, if we're talking anything like Rocky IV yesterday, Marty and I are hard into the Rocky IV talk, and Riv goes, you know what else happened? The NHL came out with the top 20 players under 25. You know where Jack Eichel is? It just completely shifted the gears and went right into hockey. So,
hey, Rob, how long do you want to talk about Rocky IV? Like, how long on a hockey show can you talk
about
Rocky
IV? Don't be too cool right now, Razor. How awesome was Rocky IV when it came out? Because you were probably in your 20s, no offense. It was 1985.
Which one was Rocky IV?
The Russian.
Russian.
Oh, the Russian. The guy that still does the commercials on TV?
Who?
Yeah, the big blonde guy.
Yes. Is he still doing commercials? Ivan Drago?
Like a trading, like a stock market trading commercial.
I have online. Seen that. Yep.
He's supposed to be a genius, the guy.
Yes, and he's also he was a world-class kickboxer as well.
Yeah. At least that's what they say.
Okay, so answer the question. Rocky IV. Come on, like with your history and background in fisticuffs, I have to imagine that you caught the Rockies.
I watched the Rockies, but it wasn't my, you know?
No, I don't. All right, we're going to go to break. Instigators, when we come back, we'll talk about money. We're going to talk about money.
Oh, I know what I'm supposed to. That was, you know, Rocky IV was sick. It was the most unbelievable movie I ever saw. That's what I was supposed to say. No,
That's not what I was looking for.
Oh.
Some movies have more of an impact on people, I guess. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about money. It's the uncomfortable conversation in the world of sports.
It's the greatest conversation in the world.
Well, there you go. Let's have it. Instigators, money, 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 money on the other side of the break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Instigators, Andrew and Craig, Darren Dreger tweeting today. Rob Ray with us all day here. Thomas Vanek not going to join us today. He could only give us a half hour, but he promised us a full hour next Wednesday on Skype. We'll record it and we'll put it out to you. And we look forward to it.
What would Thomas Vanek have to do in his life that he could only give you half an hour on any given day?
I know what it is, but I can't talk about it.
Oh, okay.
And I excused him, I guess, if we want to call it, I'm like, oh, you're excused, Thomas. I'll read this, but then I'll talk about something else for a second. So I said, we're going to talk about money and we'll get into it. When are we going to see hockey back? There is one big roadblock and it's the almighty dollar. And Darren Dreger tweeted this morning. Pierre LeBrun tweeting first, hearing that NHLPA executive Donald Fehr and NHL commissioner Gary Bettman haven't spoken since last Thursday, which speaks to how the players feel regarding the NHL salary deferral / escrow asks. Still time to salvage this. However, I think next week is important. And then Darren Dreger following up with, it's been next 7 days for the last few weeks. A lot of ground to cover financially. Players want current agreement to remain intact, which means 72% of their salaries and the rest deferred over the next few years. While ownership sources say not addressing the issues now equates to fewer games, which in turn means less revenue for all moving forward. So we'll get into that for a second. But before we get into that, clearly somebody who's not afraid to toss around the cash right now is Connor McJesus. And I will say this. That house that he built, there are a lot of people ripping it, and I don't understand why. But, oh, my God.
Who's ripping this?
I don't know.
Jealous people?
Bob McKenzie's son, Sean McKenzie, had for me, he had the tweet of the decade for me. I don't even think I've been on Twitter for a decade. But he sent out Sean McKenzie. I'll pull it up. Basically, it was a picture of a bunch of teenagers sitting in a basement with like flags hanging on the wall and like posters, and they're all playing video games, and they're like people tweeting about Connor McDavid's house, like basically saying like you're in the basement, that's probably your parents' house. Well, his house or his basketball court is the size of your parents' house.
Designed by his girlfriend, it says.
That's risky.
Oh,
that's risky.
I think she did a great job.
She did a great job. The house is gorgeous.
It's a different look. It's very modern type look. A lot of black, a lot of white in the house, but they did a fantastic job.
Okay. So it was designed by his girlfriend. So if they break up, does he want to keep the house? Cause she designed it all.
Well, the problem is though, Petey, if we're talking money, he's stuck with this house for the rest of his life. Because there's nobody in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada that would be able to buy that house from him.
I can't confirm that that's where it is. I don't know if it's at home in Toronto or not. I don't know for sure.
If it's in Edmonton, it was a really bad business decision.
JJ, can you confirm? Is that in Edmonton or Braden? Where is that house that we know of? Rob might have a point. If that's in Toronto, that's an easy sell.
Okay, but if it's in Edmonton, it's a bad financial decision.
There's always going to be a big ticket guy that's going to want to buy Connor's old house, no?
Who? A bigger ticket guy than him?
Well, how big of a
he
ticket?
He probably makes more money than anybody in the freaking.
He does. Oh, okay. Well, he does. He's the highest paid in the NHL. AAV, I believe.
Do you think there's anybody else out there? Maybe an oil guy, maybe that makes a little more. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how much the Edmonton Eskimos make. I don't even know if they still have a team. But they're not buying it. So I don't know. In Edmonton, oh my goodness, Rob. Well, he's got... How many more years does he have on that deal? Six? So he's got 6 years there. Do we have a price tag?
High.
Yeah, probably very. Riv, sickest teammate's house that you've ever been in? Is it Jumbo? You're probably going to say Jumbo.
I would say Sakukoibu's house in Montreal was really nice. Very, very nice place. Joe Thornton's was probably, I would say, the most breathtaking in San Jose. But Joe Thornton built another place in San Jose that is, if people are bored, go look and find Joe Thornton's house, the pictures that he has. They're absolutely breathtaking. I mean, off the chart. And I'll tell you this, to give a side note, Sheldon Surrey, a bachelor, had this apartment, this penthouse that was on top of it was connected to a church or something. Like it was part of a church, and it was absolutely incredible. Two stories. And it was incredible, like breathtaking.
Razor?
Nobody I ever played with had a super sick house. Maybe I honestly could say that. I don't think there's anybody that would have a house that would be like, oh my God. No.
Well, Connor McDavid's is pretty much that. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's absolutely incredible. I need to get a price tag on this place. Instigators.
Is it in Edmonton?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yep. I don't know. JJ just confirmed that a couple minutes ago.
Maybe he's planning on spending the rest of his life in Edmonton, Alberta.
Maybe he is.
Maybe.
Do you think he'll be a lifer there? Do you think he'll finish his career in Edmonton?
No.
What is it? What does his contract take him to?
I'll tell you right now. I'll pull it up for you guys.
Well, it'd be an eight-year deal, would it not be?
Well, yes, but I don't know when it started. Last year, the year before, if he's got 6 years left.
So he's done a 29 is what we're getting at, right?
So he's done a 25, 26. So that's, he has 1, 2, 3, 4. So he has 6 more years. He's done a 29, yeah.
Yeah. I
see him the kind of guy that.
I could see him move.
Yeah, I could too, to get to a point where Edmonton, okay, we got the best out of this guy. Let's move him on and try to get something to re-spark, rebuild. Send him off to a bigger market.
I think he's going to be ready for a change. I hate to say it, but I think at 29 years old, I think I don't know how things are going to play out in Edmonton, whether they win a Stanley Cup in the next, 6 years. But I could see him going to another market. And, if he has not won by that point in time, I could really see him taking less money to go to a team that is going to give him a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
Doesn't longevity with a team, or actually just spending your entire career with one team, have significance for superstar players? I mean, right now, I think the one player that everyone like you have Malkin and Crosby, they've been with the same team. Yzerman was with the same team. Lemieux was with the same team.
They won, Peter.
Right. Right. I think
with those guys, it comes down to an ego thing too. A, it's them coming in and getting the biggest contract they can get. B, it's putting up numbers to compare themselves with the greatest in the game. And I think in everybody's head, those kind of guys, that they won't get the same recognition if they never won.
Well, is there any? Is there any?
Ovi is a perfect
example. There's another one. Yes.
Until he won, everybody always said, oh, yeah, great numbers, but has never won.
I can't see him ever playing for another team. But I don't know. I don't know that that's the case for Kane and Taves in Chicago. I can't say with certainty that Kane and Taves in Chicago will finish their careers in Chicago.
I don't believe they will.
I do
believe that Alex Ovechkin will finish his career.
Same.
In Washington. I do believe that Sidney Crosby will finish his career in Pittsburgh. I don't believe that Connor McDavid will finish his career in Edmonton. And I do not believe that one of or both Taves or Kane will finish in Chicago.
I don't think Matthews is a Leaf in 5 years. I really don't.
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't think Mitch Marner is. I think Mitch Marner will not finish his contract in Toronto.
You don't think so?
Nope.
I think I'm willing to bet you if Toronto had to, well, no, I don't want to say that. You don't think Mitch Marner finishes in Toronto, eh?
No.
You don't either, Rob.
Nope. No, because I think there's too much rumblings all the time about this guy. He'd be the easy guy to move to fill a hole. You know, and the return would be good. You're freeing up money, but you could fill a serious hole that you're going to have.
Who would Toronto fans be more irate over losing, Marner or Matthews? And I know the easy answer is Matthews, but think about it. Marner's from Toronto. Does that even matter? And I mean,
I don't think he's the most popular person in the world, is he?
I think people love Marner. I think he's got a great personality. I like him more than all of them. He has the most, in my opinion, personality, at least I think a little bit. I don't know. I seem to gravitate more to Marner when he plays than Matthews or Tavares or Nylander.
I think Mitch Marner is an elite hockey player. I don't have him in like a top 10. He's, you know, down the board for me in terms of what he does. I think Austin Matthews is truly a top 10 elite player in the National Hockey League. If you're going to move somebody, it's going to be Mitch Marner. Austin Matthews is the face of the franchise. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. These are all huge conversations, and with the UFAs and the contracts and everything now, contract lengths and, you know, even Jack Eichel's name gets thrown into that mix when talking about, do you see players? Like, look at the names of the players that we're talking about. And Jack's name got to be thrown right in there, too. I mean, there's no question. All these players.
Like another guy, Malkin. I can't see
that's
Malkin.
The guy that I thought Riv was going to mention, Razor. Malkin.
I can't see Malkin. I think he's the tool that they move to, you know, start putting things back together there in a way. You keep the face, you move Malkin. He still wants to play. He's still got a lot in the tank, and his value's probably very good.
I'll tell you this, the first guy to go in Pittsburgh is going to be Letang.
Yep.
That's what I believe. I think Letang is still playing at an elite level. He's making $7.25 million the next 2 years. He's 33 years old. This is absolutely the time to cut bait with this guy. The problem is no one has the money or the cap space for a player like this. So the value of Chris Letang, which I think is still very high, you're just not going to get what you need for him right now.
Yeah. And there's a guy. He's been banged up. His injuries, reliability is dwindling.
Well, his health. I mean, did he not have like serious health issues too? It was a while ago, but he had the blood clot.
Yep.
And might be Olli Maatta might have had the thyroid issue, but somebody in Pittsburgh, a defenseman in Pittsburgh, had the thyroid health issue as well. We got to go to break. We're late for break. Instigators, when we come back, don't forget 11:30. Name that teammate with Rob Ray, and he's had a lot of them. We'll find a good teammate to trick Rivs with as well. And is there a famous, popular, favorite show amongst a lot of people, but hockey players? That could be returning to TV. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. I bet Razor hasn't seen an episode. Stick around. More to come.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I started to talk into my water bottle like it was my microphone. Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550, Craig and Andrew, Rob Ray joining us for the whole show. Thomas Vanek will join us next Wednesday, and it's going to be fun. Awesome guy. Probably hear him. He's been on the show a bunch of times, and when you hear him, you don't hear him like he was when he was a player. He's a much different interview now, obviously for obvious reasons. But Razor. Yeah. Do you know the show that this song is the theme song for?
No.
11:30 coming up, by the way. Guess your teammate with Rob Ray. We're going to give him hints, see if we can pin down who we're talking about, maybe get a good story about the guy.
Petey, were you the one saying that they're talking about bringing this show back?
Negative. I did not say that. I heard that, and it's someone brought it up in our morning meeting. Jeff or JJ, just about Entourage star, says series could be getting a reboot. In an interview with Coming Soon, actor Kevin Dillon, who plays Johnny Drama, by the way, revealed he had had discussions with Entourage creator Doug Ellen about a possible reboot or revival of the series. When asked about his talks with Ellen, Dillon responded by saying, "I've been working on Doug for months, and finally," he said the other day, "I'll start thinking about a reboot or a revival." So this would be amazing for my life. Because aren't we all kind of curious about what Vinny Chase and the Chasers are up to?
What do you think? Like, where would you think they're at?
Well, with where they ended in the movie, it looked like Johnny Drama was... he just won an award, a Golden Globe, as Best Supporting Actor in Vinny Chase's movie. What's it called? Not Hyde. Something like that. It's one word. Anyway, and then Vince acted and directed his first time directing. And then Ari Gold, who was his agent, is now the head of the studio. So he gave Vince all this money, and Vince went way over budget on this movie. I think it's called Hyde. Someone double check that for me. And then he had to go to Texas to get more money from the investor, and he sent the son back, and the son got jealous because the girl that he's in love with loved Vince. Obviously, every girl loved Vince. And then tried to shut down the movie altogether. Anyway, long story short, they're winning awards. So things are going well. And the one guy that you always root for is Drama. And he was always struggling in his career. And you root for him and root for him as so many things fall through. And then here he is at the end. And he just goes, and do you remember his line when something went well? He go, "Victory." Do you remember that?
No.
That's what he did. So he always went, "Victory." So at the end of the movie, which the movie sucked, by the way, but it was great.
I didn't watch it.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, this is basically the movie in a nutshell. And then he just, at the end, he goes, he won Best Supporting Actor at the Golden Globes for this movie that Vince acted and directed. And he goes, victory. And then boom, the movie ends. It was great. It was a great ending because that's the guy you're always rooting for.
Now I don't have to watch the movie.
Well, the movie's been out for 5 years. So, I mean, I'm not really upset that I just spoiled the ending for you. But anyway, so the movie's coming back. Or the show could be coming back. It's in discussion.
All right.
You don't seem as thrilled. You know who would be thrilled about this? Newest Buffalo Sabre, Taylor Hall, who only came on our show and just told us basically that he and his buddies love Entourage. Doesn't everybody want to know what it's like to be a Hollywood star, a young Hollywood star? And they do a... I think it's a soft play off of Mark Wahlberg's life in Hollywood.
Wouldn't it just be easier to be Turtle? Kyle lives off the star, doesn't really have to do anything. Has to, you know, get some groceries, that's it.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's no. He, and you know what? You know what was great about him? Toward the end, he wanted to stand on his own 2 feet. And he ended up doing all right.
All right.
But anyway, it's a great show. There are so many life experiences in there too. I mean, that they share and talk about. So whatever. I mean, Razor, you've never seen this?
No.
Okay. Clearly you guys aren't nearly as excited about it as I am. But Entourage got me through my terrible hockey career. I mean, I'm just being completely honest with you. It ran. No, I'm not even kidding with you. It ran from the time I entered the NHL to the time I exited. And I like it just in it. It was the one thing that I had to look forward to on a weekly basis. And then when it was on demand on HBO, you could watch it every day. And it was just like, that was a great escape. It was a great escape from my reality anyway. So that's why I think I love the show so much, is because he was having the success that I wanted. I'm just joking with you. Come on. Self-deprecation mixed into a little bit of, you know, storytelling. We'll be right back, Instigators. Hour number two. Razor's with us. WGR Sports Radio 550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!